you, ladies. That's a marvelous song.
Right, I got a green light. So I guess that means go. It is such a blessing to be here at the Unity Baptist Church in Amory. And I won't try to fix this a little bit so I don't get tangled up in it. I talk with my hands a lot. Anybody do that? So I'll grab a hold of that thing, sling it off. But anyway, I appreciate this church for number one, letting your pastor get away once in a while. I appreciate that. And even doubly so, I appreciate him thinking of us and letting us come once in a while and be here at this church. We feel at home here. We feel so loved here, and it's hard to have it any other way. And y'all are our kind of folks, and we're glad to be around you. And I know what y'all been around a lot. And y'all are just our kind of folks. And everybody's not our kind of folks. Amen. And there's a lot of places we don't fit in. But we're so grateful to be here today. And I appreciate Brother Mitchell letting us talk a little bit in Sunday school. And we had a good time back there and laughed a little bit. And thank the Lord we didn't cry a little bit this time. There wouldn't have been nothing wrong with that. We laughed so much we almost cried. But anyway, it is good to be here in the house of the Lord today. And I want to try to preach to you and help you from the Word of God. And so Psalm 150 is where we will read and preach from. Everything's all right on that microphone, isn't it? It's all righty. I like that simple one switch, flip one switch, green light comes on. So, but Psalm 150. And we'll try to give you something to be a help to you from the Word of God. And Lord willing, we'll be back this evening. I guess 6 o'clock's when y'all meet on the evening service. So 5:30 prayer, all righty. And all right, so we'll look forward to being back this evening. And if I don't get as far along as I'd like to with this, we'll pick it back up this evening and we'll see what happens. But I want to try to help you from the Word of God. And certainly the Word of God won't hurt us. It'll help us. And so, Father, thank you for this opportunity. I ask you now to speak to me and speak through me and help us all from your word today. If there's someone here not saved, please speak to their heart, open their eyes, and draw them to yourself and save them by your grace before it's too late. Do strengthen your children today. Give them some encouragement from the word of God and something to help them go on and keep on keeping on for your glory. And we thank you and praise you for all your blessings, for hearing and answering prayer. I ask you to help us to know more about your will now as we look into your word. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. And I want to read these 6 verses in Psalm 150. And if you look up the word psalm, you probably know this, but in case you don't, if you look up the word psalm, it's pretty much defined as a sacred poem or a sacred poem set to music or a sacred hymn. And the book of Psalms, so we would call it a book of songs. We would call it Israel's songbook. I've heard it called that. But 150 sacred poems, oftentimes set to music. And here we come down to the very last one. Of course, man put the chapter divisions in the Bible, the chapter and verse divisions, and I'm glad that that is so. It helps us to comprehend it a lot better. It does me. If I didn't have chapter and verse divisions and it all was just running together, I'd have a really hard time comprehending it. But I like the fact that this last section has been broken down into 6 short verses. And I might could memorize 6 verses, maybe. I might not could memorize 600, but I think I could memorize 6 verses. Amen. But I want you to pay attention to these 6 verses. And let's see if we can find out what the psalmist is trying to tell us about. Is there some particular something he's trying to drive home to us? And you listen to these verses and read along if you'd like. And let's see if we can find out what the psalmist is trying to talk to us about. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I wonder what the psalmist is trying to tell us about here. I wonder if he's trying to tell us about praising the Lord. And he is 13 times in these 6 verses. We find this word praise, and usually linked to either praising Him or praising the Lord or praising God. The psalmist wants to teach us some things about praise here. And if you're a Bible reader, and particularly if you have read the Psalms very much, you know that Psalm 150 is the ending of a series of 5 Psalms. And if you'd like to have a blessing this coming week, and if you'd like to have a good blessing for your own personal life, then I encourage you to try to take the time to read the last 5 Psalms. They're all about praising the Lord. The last 5 Psalms, beginning with 146, going through 150, they all begin and end with the same phrase, praise ye the Lord. And so not only in Psalm 150, but in the last 5 Psalms, the psalmist is teaching us some things about praising the Lord. And I'm amazed every time I read these last 5 chapters. I always learn something different about praise that I didn't know before. I always see something I didn't see the last time I read through it. So I encourage you to try to read through these 5 chapters. I want to focus on these 6 verses here in Psalm 150 for just a little bit. And so try to give you some things about what the psalmist is trying to tell us. I thought about this. John Phillips has a 2 commentary set, and some of you might not know who John Phillips is. He was a Baptist preacher. He's gone to be with the Lord, but he wrote a lot of different commentaries on the Bible. He never got to finish the Old Testament series. He did finish the New Testament series, but he did get several of the Old Testament books written. He's one of the authors or one of the commentators that all the preachers go to see what he has to say on some particular something. Very sound and King James man, and he was from Britain, England, all that, but he wrote 2 volumes on the Psalms, and they're both really thick, and I'm showing you, that's about how thick they are. I told you I taught in my hand. 2 really thick volumes on the Psalms, Psalm 1 through 175 is in 1 volume, Psalm 76 through 150 is in the other volume. And naturally, when I began to look at this Psalm, I thought, I wonder what John Phillips has to say about this. And let me give you this as a side note. I remember one time I was studying Psalm 23, and I thought, I wonder what John Phillips wrote on Psalm 23. And it was a blessing to my heart what he wrote on Psalm 23. He said, after my mother went to be with the Lord, I found her Bible beside her bed, and beside Psalm 23, I found these words written by Psalm 23, and that's what he based his exposition of that psalm off of in his commentary, and this is what his mother had wrote in her Bible. Come back next time I tell you. No, I'm just kidding. Would you like to know what she wrote in her Bible by Psalm 23? She wrote 3 things. She wrote the secret of a happy life. Yeah, that's what you find in Psalm 23, the secret of a happy life. And it also tells you the secret of a happy death. If you live right, you're going to die right. And if you live wrong, you're going to die wrong. And if you live a happy life, you'll be happy when you're dead. Amen. Because you won't be dead. And then she had the secret of a happy eternity. Isn't that marvelous right there? The secret of a happy life, the secret of a happy death, and the secret of a happy eternity. That's what he had on Psalm 23, so that was his outline that he expounded on to help you understand that psalm. And I can't even start to comprehend all the things he wrote on Psalm 150, but I do, and I can't even remember all the things I read on that psalm that he wrote, and it's been a while back since I read it, but I do remember this. He had a title above each of these chapters that he wrote on. Every time he wrote on a different chapter, he'd put a little title up there, and like a sermon title or something. And he called Psalm 150 the Hallelujah Chorus. The Hallelujah Chorus. And I got to looking into that a little bit, and I wondered why he called it that. And he, of course, pointed out things that are obvious. This is the last in a series of 5 Psalms telling us about praising the Lord. And he kind of followed the pattern that we use in our psalm books. We used it in the service this morning. For example, we sang Power in the Blood. And it had 4 stanzas and a chorus. We sang a stanza and a chorus, stanza and a chorus, stanza and a chorus. We put the chorus after every stanza, and of course we sang the chorus. I noticed the choir there when they sang this morning, and they got to the last stanza and sung the stanza and the chorus, and then they repeated the chorus. And so he called this the Hallelujah Chorus, because he said it's like Psalm 146 makes up the first stanza, Psalm 147 the second, Psalm 148 the third, Psalm 149 the fourth stanza, Psalm 150 kind of brings them all together. But not only does it provide an accurate chorus for the Psalms of praise, it also closes out the entire song book of the entire book of Psalms. And I can't even start to talk to you about all the things he said, but I'm thankful that he wrote on this psalm the Hallelujah Chorus. And by the way, did you know that praise ye the Lord, praise God, praise the Lord, praise Him? Did you know that in Hebrew that is translated over into one single word? Praise ye the Lord, praise God, praise the Lord. They all mean the same thing, and it's just one Hebrew word. In English, we pronounce it something like hallelujah. That's what praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord, and praise Him, praise God. They all go back to that same word, hallelujah. Would you like to know how to do that in sign language? Does anybody know how to say hallelujah in sign language? Now, we should have at least four men that know how to say hallelujah in sign language. I'm not going to make you do it, all right? And so Brother Boozer's got it back there. He's ready to go. But I learned this from being around some deaf people, and I don't know very many words in sign language. I know my alphabet, and I know three or four words. I'll give you a couple of those this morning. But in other words, were the psalmist writing this directly in Hebrew, it would read hallelujah, and then it would say hallelujah again, because he said praise ye the Lord, that means hallelujah, and praise God, that means hallelujah. And then he would have said it again, praise hallelujah in His sanctuary, hallelujah in the firmament of His power. You say, now, Brother Ricky, you're starting to sound like one of those Church of God people, one of those charismatic people. You know, hallelujah, they throw hallelujah in between about every phrase, hallelujah. You ever heard them do that on the radio? Let me say this right here. Hallelujah is not a charismatic word. It's not a Pentecostal word. It's not, it's a Bible word. It's a Hebrew word. Hallelujah is a Hebrew word. By the way, did you know it's the same thing in the Greek? It's just pronounced a little different. The H is dropped off. And you remember Harold Sattler? Maybe you hadn't ever heard him, but maybe you heard or read his sermon. Maybe you was there in person, or maybe you heard it on cassette. Harold Sattler preached one of his famous messages on the four hallelujahs. He proved that every child of God is going to say hallelujah at least four times in the future. And so he was kind of saying you might as well warm up and get practice up. Learn how to say hallelujah. Hallelujah is the same thing as saying praise the Lord. And I remember when our children were young, I remember we wanted to teach them Bible principles, and we tried to pump them full of the Bible every chance we got. We tried to read the Bible to them. We tried to teach the Bible to them. We tried to be faithful to take them to church. We tried to get them to listen to scriptural songs. But I remember getting several cassette tapes and videotapes, things like that, that had scriptural songs on them. And I remember that one said, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I think it was something like, hallelujah, 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 praise ye. That was the actions that went along with it. Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord, hallelujah, praise. I can't even keep up with it. Praise ye the Lord, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord, hallelujah. And those are actually saying the same thing. Amen. Hallelujah and praise the Lord. Praise God's the same thing. And so anyway, let me go ahead and get this out of the way. Hallelujah in sign language, they tell me, is to put three fingers on each side of your head, something like that, and twirl them. That is hallelujah in sign language. Now, if you'd like to blow your preacher's mind, And if you won't speak in the church service while he's preaching, and just do that while he's... Now, he might think you're doing something like that. You know what that one is, don't you? Anyway, that's hallelujah. And take it down to two fingers and split them apart, and they tell me that's victory in sign language. And one other word I know, we talked about it in Sunday school this morning. Wouldn't it be something if Brother Rutledge was up here preaching sometime and... a quarter or half or all the congregation was all sitting there with their hand held out. And then they had that one right there. You know how you do a letter A in sign language. You do a letter A, something like that. And if half the congregation was doing that while Brother Rutledge was preaching, that's amen in sign language. That's how you say amen. And so if you're ashamed to or afraid to say amen, or you just don't want to talk in church, do that while Brother Rutledge, if you're agreeing with him and you're going along with him and you want to encourage him, just do that to him. And if it gets real good down your soul, just do that and do that right quick. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, that's about the extent of my sign language, and I hope that was a help to you along life's way. Maybe you'll remember that. Maybe you can pass it on, teach it to somebody else. But what about this subject of praise right here, and praising the Lord, and praising God? I want to give you three simple thoughts by way of introduction. I won't make a lot of comment on them, but these are some things that you find in the Bible concerning the subject of praising the Lord. And number one, let me say, God deserves our praise. God deserves our praise. God deserves to be praised. Amen. Who has done more for you than God has? Nobody has. Amen. The Bible tells me that it's in Him that we live and move and have our being. Seemed like I read a verse somewhere that He holds our very breath in His hand. He designed our body and makes everything function about it. He spoke everything that's out here into existence. He is the Lord. He is sovereign. He is the King. He's number one. He's in control. He deserves to be praised. Amen. And we could prove that out throughout a lot of different places in the Bible and our own lives. Now, I remember Renee preaching many times. Been a long time since I preached at a particular church, but I remember something they nearly always sang. I owe it all to you, Lord. All I have is yours, Lord. Take my life and make me what you'd have me be. I'm your child and you're my father. I'm the clay and you're the potter. I was riding on the bush hog the other day there at Rock of Ages, and that song came across my mind, and I started singing it to myself. I was glad I was out there by myself. I was just a squalling and a driving the bush hog and driving the tractor and just a squalling and just a shouting a little bit. Nobody knew a thing. The world was going on. I do some real good singing out there on the bush hog. And got my little earplugs in, whatever you call them, hearing protectors. And the tractor's making a noise and the bush hog's making a noise. And I can just sing and just enjoy myself. But I was having a good time because I was letting it sink in. Lord, you're the best thing that ever happened to me. And even though nobody else could hear it, I wouldn't do it, but I had to say, thank you, Lord. Bless your name. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God. God deserves our praise. And this might surprise you, but did you know God desires our praise? God desires us to praise Him. He likes it. And that leads me to number three. God deserves our praise. God desires our praise, but God delights in our praise. Did you know that? God delights in our praise. He likes it when we praise Him. And we could say so much about that, but I want to look at these six verses and give you several things here. Try to be a help to you along life's way as we think about this subject of praising the Lord. This psalm tells us what the focus of our praise ought to be. Guess what the focus of our praise is not? The focus of our praise is not you. The focus of our praise is not me. The focus of our praise is Him. You've heard it's almost a cliche, but it's all about Him. The focus of our praise is Him. Where are we today? We're at church. What does that mean? We're in His house. We're in His house. to worship Him, to praise Him. What did you come an hour ago for? So we could come to Sunday school. Why'd you go to Sunday school? To learn more about Him. To learn more about His Word. And that's how it ought to be. Now, if you go to a church and they have Sunday school and you don't learn more about Him or you don't learn more about His Word or how His Word relates to Him, find somewhere else to go to Sunday school or get you a different teacher. You ought to be learning more about Him. You ought to be learning more about His Word. What did we sing about this morning? We sang about Him. And somebody has very well said hymns are about Him. And if they're not about Him, if our songs are not about Him, then they're not hymns. Hymns are supposed to be about Him. We came here to sing praises to Him, to the Lord. Did we do that this morning? I believe we did. I can't remember all the songs we sang. I've anchored in Him, in Jesus. He is my rock of ages. There's power in His blood. Amen. All hail to Him. All hail to the Father. All hail to the Son. All hail to the Spirit. We were singing about Him. I hope you were singing to Him a little bit, amen. A lot of folks is too worried about what everybody else is going to think about their singing. That's one thing I like about the lawnmower and the tractor. It don't matter. Just sing to Him. I heard somebody said that they told Lester Olof that he should not sing. I thought he did a good job singing. I enjoyed it. I learned a lot of songs that I had never heard. I learned them from listening to tapes of Lester Olof singing and somebody playing the organ, sometimes somebody accompanying him. I can hear some of those things going through my mind right now. Songs I'd never heard before. I didn't know they existed. But they said, Brother Olof, you shouldn't sing because you can't sing. And nobody gets anything out of your singing. They told me that he said, well, I was singing to Him anyway. You know what he did? He just kept on singing. That's right. I don't claim to be a singer, but I sing because I can't help it. I sing because He's in there. I just want to express my praise to Him. Singing is one way of praising Him. Testifying is one way of praising Him. But what is the focus of our praise? Now I realize everybody in this house this morning, you have problems that you're facing. You have troubles that you're going through. You might have questions that need answers. Some of you came here this morning hoping to find some help from the Word of God, needing answers to your questions, needing solutions to your problem, needing encouragement for the situation that you're in. Well, if we just focused on Him, we'd all get the help we need, amen. We do have problems. We do have situations. We do have troubles. And it's good to share our prayer requests with one another. The Bible said we're to bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. We are to do that. But we came here primarily to focus on Him, to sing about Him, to learn about Him. Right here it is. Praise ye the Lord. Now, how about this? He says, praise ye the Lord. And immediately after that, he says, praise God. He uses two different names for the Lord here. I don't know how much studying or teaching you've had on this, but that praise ye the Lord, that's in all capital letters, indicating that comes from the word Jehovah. Jehovah, and the self-existent one, the strong-breasted one. And that's the most used name for God in the Old Testament. And someone has pointed out that this is the same word that is applies to the Lord Jesus in the New Testament. In other words, someone said Jesus is the Jehovah of the New Testament. Anyway, I can't go into the Trinity this morning. I can't comprehend it and I can't explain it. And I ain't going to try to, but I ain't going to try to explain it away. But praise ye the Lord. Jehovah, that is His covenant name. Every time God made a covenant to someone in the Old Testament, He used this name, Jehovah, right here. That's His covenant name. Now this next name, praise God. That is His power name. That's the one that's used to describe that triune being. That's the one that comes from the word Elohim. That's the one that's back in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so there's His covenant name or His promise name, and there's His power name. He's the one we're supposed to be focused on. He's the one we are to praise. God, the Lord, Jehovah, Elohim, and He's got many other names. You can learn a lot about God by studying His names in the Old Testament. The focus of our praise is to be the Lord. What about the places of praise, the place of praise? Praise ye the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Now, when that says praise God in His sanctuary, that's another word for His house, His dwelling place. If there's anywhere where God's praises ought to be being heard, it ought to be in His house. I'm not fussing at anybody. It's that way in a lot of churches. And I realize sometimes you just don't have anything to say, or sometimes you just wait on somebody else. I tell you, when somebody stands up and says, would somebody like to testify? Oh, he ought to be praised in His house. He ought to be testified about. And some of you, you testified through your songs this morning. That's fine. You praise the Lord in your song. I'm not saying everybody ought to testify every time you have an opportunity. I've made up my mind by the grace of God. Somebody gives an opportunity to testify. If I can't say nothing, I'm glad I'm saved. I want to give some kind of glory to the Lord. I'm just saying, God's praises ought to be sounded forth in His house. And there's nothing wrong with praising God at your house. There's nothing wrong with praising God at somebody else's house or anywhere else you might be. But if there's anywhere where the praises of God ought to be heard, ought to be in His sanctuary. Praise God in His sanctuary. Now, I'm still chewing on this one right here. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. When I think about that word firmament, it takes me back to the creation in Genesis, where God separated the waters from the waters, and He talks about the firmament and the making the division there, and all that. But I'm thinking, does this word firmament have something to do with something above us? Something up there, maybe? If that's the case, now you can help me after service if you've got some insight on that. Maybe you can go away and study it. But praise Him in the firmament of His power. You may think I'm crazy. Back in 2015, November 2015, we purchased a new vehicle. And it was a 2016. We bought it November 2015, so it came out early and all that. Well, it came equipped with, I don't know how long it was, but it came equipped with satellite radio. And there's one half gospel station on all those 184 channels. Now, Joyce Meyer has a channel, and Elvis Presley has a channel. Joel Osteen has a channel on there. But there's no fundamental, independent King James Bible preaching on there. There is one station that has 85% good gospel music. It's the station in Latin, Southern Gospel Radio. Now, some of the stuff comes on there. I turned it off when it came on. I ain't even going to waste your time and my time and God's time telling you about that 15%. But I just turned it off. But anyway... They give that to you for a year or 2 years and trying to get you hooked. And if you listen to sports, man, they got all kind of sports channels and they got all kind of channels for everything. But anyway, I heard some interesting things on that. We kept it on that one channel all the time, that Southern Gospel channel. And when the 15% that wasn't no good came on, we turned it off. And then we'd turn it back on after that was over with. But I heard some interesting things on that radio station, and I'm not off my subject, okay? Now, I don't remember who it was singing it. It's an old song, and somebody came back and redid it, and they played a lot of times the old recording on there, but the guy came on, and that station's just like any other station. for about a year or two, they play the same songs over and over and over and over and over again until they wear them out. And you're thinking, I know they got some more songs in their files. Why don't they play something else? The first time I heard this, the guy came on, and there was the music, and he sang these words. This is what he was singing. Up above my head, there's music in the air. Well, when I heard that, I'm thinking, what? And he said, let me just say, I'm not saying like he did, but this is kind of, up above my head, there's music in the air. Up above my head, there's music in the air. Up above my head, there's music in the air. And I'm thinking, this guy's on something. He's hallucinating. He's out of his mind. And after three times repeating, up above my head, there's music in the air. So the third time, up above my head, there's music in the air. And I really do believe, and sometimes they'd read, and I really do believe there's a heaven somewhere. That was the song. And I first time I heard that, I thought, that's weird. And so it wasn't long, I don't know, maybe the next day, I don't know, but it came on again. And it wasn't what I'd call a bad song. Now, I couldn't call it one of the greatest gospel songs I ever heard, but it wasn't a bad one that I had to turn it off. So it came on, and we're just going down the road, not really past. Up above my head, there's music in the air. Up above my head, there's music in the air. Well, that's the second time I've heard this song. And now I'm wondering, does he see something up above his head, or is he hearing something up above his head? What is above his head that's making him take the time to sing about it? Up above my head, there's music in the air, and I really do believe there's a heaven somewhere. And I said, must have something to do with heaven, I thought. Well, a day or two later, we're going down the road. Guess what comes on? Up above my head, there's music in the air. You're off your rocker, Brother Rick. I thought he was off his rocker, but you know what? Now this is the third time I've heard this song. They are putting a lot of emphasis on this thing. They're wanting us to get something out of it. They keep playing it. There must be something to it. And so I start putting some thought into it. Up above my head. I thought, what if I was the one singing that? I am this morning, aren't I? Up above my head. Well, I'm going to look up. Well, there's the ceiling. Yeah, but up above the ceiling, there's the roof. And up above the roof is the sky. And up above the sky, heaven is up there somewhere. God is up there somewhere. Okay. Next time this song comes on, I'm going to pay a little more attention. Well, same thing. Up above my head, there's music in the air. Well, I know heaven's up there. I done determined that. He mentioned that in that song. Up above my head, there's music in the air. Heaven. I know some people up there. Up above my head, there's music in the air. And I really do believe there's a heaven. Now, let me tell you something. I don't know what else the rest of that song said. All right, I'm just focused on this part. But now, about the fourth time I heard that song, I'm starting to understand why he's singing about it. And he seems happy about singing about it. Up above my head, heaven's up there. God's up there. I have loved ones up there. I have preacher comrades up there. I wonder what they're doing up there. Well, I have to go to Revelation 4 and 5. To that, John saw a vision into the future. And in God letting John look into the future, John saw that throne. And John saw around that throne thousands upon thousands, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, all gathered around the throne, saying, hallelujah, blessing, glory, and honor be unto him that sitteth on the throne. And I go through the book of Revelation. I find out not only are they praising God around that throne, but also there's a lot of singing going on. I don't know what song they were singing because I'm not there yet, but I know it's a new song that's never been sung, and it's going to have something to do with him and praising him. What are they doing up there? What do you think they're doing in heaven today? You think they're just sitting around in heaven up there just depressed and down and out and frowning? No, Only thing I've got to go by is this Bible. I think they're up there worshiping Him and at least practicing for that day when we all get there. Up above my head, there's music in the air. They're singing, they're shouting, they're praising Him. And you know, the Bible is saying, praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. I believe they're praising God up there, and I believe you'd have a hard time proving that that's not what they're doing up there. They're praising the Lord up there. The Lord wants us to praise Him down here. And I found this out right here. You do what you want to. I won't even mention all the things, but let me say this. Now, I have no problem with taking care of the cemetery and taking care of mom and dad's graves and relatives' graves. I got no problem with that. But my dad's buried in a place, and my dad became a believer. He lived for the Lord for the last 8 years of his life, had a great influence on my life. But when I want to talk to my dad or think about my dad or get close to my dad, I don't go to the grave. And if you do go there, and if that's where you're comfortable feeling close to them, guess what? My dad's not in that grave. Now, my dad's buried in one of those perpetual cemetery places. I don't ever have to go by there. Somebody mows it and somebody takes care of it. And really and truly, anyway, I better not get into all that. I'm going to offend somebody. But you know, when I feel close to my dad, how about this morning? How about right now? How about when we're in here praising the Lord and studying His Word and with His people? I'm feeling pretty close to my dad who's up there in heaven with the Lord. I'm feeling pretty close to the Lord this morning. They're praising Him up there. If we get to praising Him down here, it seems like heaven and earth is drawn awful close together. I didn't mean to give you all that and go into all that to give you all that. Let me check my time right here. I'm already mixed up. I looked to see if Brother Rutledge was preaching back at the home church, because I told Renee when church started, I said, well, about 12 o'clock back home, they're about to get out. I flipped on. They're just getting fired up. Now, we're not going to be that way today, okay, over here in Mississippi. Y'all turned me loose plenty early at that. We ought to be done by the time lunchtime gets here. It ought to be lunchtime. It's not unusual there at Concord Baptist Church, and they ain't fooling around now. They ain't just putting a bunch of unnecessary stuff, but it's not unusual for the preacher to start after 12 o'clock. So, you may have to figure out a different time to eat lunch. Now, we're usually out before 1 o'clock over there, all right? And I know that rubs some of you the wrong way. And I could probably flip on right now. I might just go ahead and do that. I might just flip on and see what's going on over there. Amen. And let's see if we can get it up right here just because I'm curious. Maybe it's over with by now, but it is over with, isn't it? It looks like, oh, I thought you was looking at it too. So it's 12:47 over there. It's usually over with by that time. Amen. But did Brother Rutledge preach over there today? I'm not sure. Maybe nobody did. Maybe everybody did. He's preaching at another church over close by there tonight. I thought I'd tune in and listen to him preach a little bit. Wouldn't that have been something? I could have got up here and put it up here and you could have heard your pastor preach. You'd have been better off than what you're having to put up with. I'm off the subject now. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. And so the focus of our praise is the Lord. The places of praise, we ought to praise Him down here, and they're praising Him up there. And I don't find any indication anywhere that they're praising Him. There's only three places, heaven, hell, and the earth. And I don't find any indication or teaching or anything that even point to the fact that anybody's praising Him down there in hell. Now, they wished that they had praised Him. They wished they'd glorified Him. They wished they'd gave Him His rightful place. But they didn't. And there's, as far as I know, there's no praising God in hell. But there's to be praising God in His sanctuary on earth. And there is praising God in the firmament of His power. Guess what? Guess what? Once in a while now, just for no reason whatsoever, I go around up above my head. I may even throw my hand up, or I may even look. There's music in the air. You say, I don't see it. Up above my head, there's music in the air. There's music up there. Sometimes I think I hear it. Amen. Sometimes I think I do. Sometimes maybe I do. You say, well, how do you explain that? I don't know how you explain that. If you ever get close to heaven, you'll know what I'm talking about. You get homesick once in a while. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. This world's not my home. I'm just passing through. Well, the theme of praise is discussed here. The theme of praise is discussed. And so, praise Him. It's a two-point outline broke down for us. Praise Him for His mighty acts according to His excellent greatness. Now, I do not have time to talk about the mighty acts of God. For if I did start talking about the mighty acts of God, I'd have to go back as far as I can go, and that's Genesis 1:1. Now, I can go back a little farther than Genesis 1:1 if I go to John 1:1. In the beginning in Genesis is the same in the beginning that's in John. They just go in different directions. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And that goes this way, forward in time. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was... It goes backwards before the foundation of the world. Same in the beginning. And so that's as far as I can go. But I can't remember now. If I was going to talk about the mighty acts of God, that's where I'd have to start. And then I'd have to go up to 5/29/2022. May the 29th, 2022. That's where I'd have to go to if I was going to talk about all the mighty acts of God. And we'd have all this stuff in between, so I don't have time for that. But y'all to praise Him for His mighty acts. You say, you talking about today? Yes. What mighty acts has God done today? Don't even get me started if you ain't figured it out yet. Did you see the sun shining this morning? Did you get out of bed this morning? Did you have something to eat this morning? Did you have something to wear this morning? Did you have a dry roof over your head this morning? I bet you had air conditioning in your house and in your car this morning. The mighty acts of God. You say, but I worked for all that. You make me laugh, my friend. You worked for all that, and who gave you the health and the strength and the ability to do that? Who? Oh, I can go on the mighty acts of God. We have a lot to praise Him for. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Basically, when I think about His mighty acts and according to His excellent greatness, I think about it like this. We ought to praise God for what He's done. And we ought to praise Him for who He is. And if you want to find out who He is, then spend more time in His Word, particularly studying His names. You can learn a lot about God and His character through studying His names in the Bible, seeing what they mean. Praise Him. That's what the theme of our praise ought to be. It ought to be about His mighty acts, and it ought to be according to His excellent greatness and who He is and what He's done. And then He begins in verse number 4 and goes down through verse 6. And I'll just cut it off right here. I had a pastor one time. He's a wise pastor. And he just got old-fashioned, good, godly wisdom. And when he would say things, sometimes I wouldn't get it. And I'd go away. And sometimes it'd be 3 o'clock in the morning. I'd wake up and think about what he said. I'd say, I got it. Now, I'm slow catching on a lot of time, but this is one thing he said, and it took me a little bit to get it. He said, good preaching's like blowing. You can just cut it off anywhere, and it'll be all right. So I'm just going to cut it off this morning. We'll pick back up tonight, all right? And I'm not trying to be funny. Now, I'll give you his name if you want to. He was my pastor when I got married many years ago, but that's what he said, good preaching's like blowing. He just cut it off anywhere, and it'll still be all right. And I had another pastor. This was a different pastor. And every once in a while, he'd say, you got a message on your heart today, Brother Rick? Yeah, I'd say, yes, sir. Don't you have anything? He said, yeah, but it's not like milk. It won't spoil. He said, it'll keep till next service. I had to chew on that in just a little bit. Amen. But he was right, amen. He was right. And so praise
the focus of our praise, the places of praise, the theme of our praise, and then the means of our praise is discussed here. The means of our praise. And he goes down through all these different musical instruments. Some of them I'm not even sure exactly what they are. Must have been some things they used in the Old Testament or some things that I hadn't been taught about. But I'll tell you this right here. Here's something I found out. Instead of going through all these different instruments and talking about each one of them and trying to explain it and trying to help you understand it, how about this? I don't know a lot about music, but I've tried to learn a few things on the way. But I found this out. All musical instruments fall into one of three categories. All instruments, there may be a fourth category. But I believe everything would fall under three categories as far as musical instruments. It's either a wind instrument, a stringed instrument, or a percussion instrument. All three of those are talked about here, the wind instruments, the stringed instruments. And somebody along the way, I've had one or two instruments brought to my attention that might not fall in those three categories. But I've gave it some thought, and I think they do fall into one of those three categories. But if you know of an instrument that don't fall into those three categories, let me know about it, and I'll make the correction, make the apology. But he mentions, how are we to praise Him? How do we do this? We know that He should be praised, and we know that we ought to praise Him, and we see some reasons to praise Him. But I mean, how do we go about praising Him? And by the way, you say, Brother Ricky, I don't know anything about wind instruments, stringed instruments, or percussion instruments. I can't play any of them, and I don't even know the difference between them, and you're about in the same boat I am. I know a little bit more than that. I think I could identify whether an instrument's a stringed instrument, a percussion instrument, or a wind instrument, but I can't play any of them. Well, I don't have to praise the Lord, then I'm left out. No, you're not. Verse 6 covers you. If you can't play an instrument, if you have no desire to play an instrument, you're not left out. As a matter of fact, you have the most beautiful instrument of praise God ever created. When properly used, the human voice is to praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And can I say this? I ain't getting into it this morning, but that's not just talking about human beings. It literally means let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. You want some insight into that? Please take the time to read the last five Psalms. You'll get a lot of insight into that. I can't remember the words of it, Renee, but I remember our kids. Could have been all things bright and beautiful, all creatures, great and small. I'll give you something to think about while you're meditating on those last five Psalms. Did you ever wonder, how can I put this? Did you ever wonder why all the animals don't bark like a dog? Or did you ever wonder when a dog opens its mouth why it don't tweet or sing or whistle like a bird? Did you ever wonder that? Maybe you never wondered that. Why does a dog bark? And why does a cat meow? And why does a horse, what do they do? Neigh? I reckon they neigh. I think's what you call it. I can illustrate, I can demonstrate it for you better than I can define it, but I won't do that today. But why does a donkey hee-haw or whatever you call it? Why? Why do different dogs make different sounds? A blue tick hound dog don't sound like a German shepherd, and on it goes. Why all these different sounds? Why couldn't God just made all the animals and made them all make the same sound? Read the last five Psalms, then come back and answer that question for me. I've concluded this. You may think I'm crazy, but I'm just going by these last five Psalms. But a dog barks because that's the only way he's got of praising his Creator. A fish. You ever heard a fish talk? I think it sounds something like this. they can sure make some noise when they come up out of the water and splish, splash and all that, can't they? But, they do what they do, and they do it. That's their way of praising their Creator. You go through these last five Psalms and see if you come up with a different answer than that. Well, What does this do and what does that do? I can't answer all the specifics, but read the last five Psalms. Not only that, not only did I find in the last five Psalms that all creatures, great and small, praise their Creator, but even non-breathing things, even things with no breath, praise their Creator. You're crazy, Brother Rick. No, I read the last five Psalms. When the wind blows, that ain't got nothing to do with Mother Nature. It's got a lot to do with Father God. When the rain falls, when the lightning zips across the sky and lights it up, when the thunder booms. You remember, I remember my kids was always scared of thunder. And they didn't realize, man, it can't hurt you at all. It's the lightning that sometimes comes along with it, what you got to worry about. Of course, we'd try to teach them, don't worry about anything. That's the Lord making that happen. For whatever reason, I don't always know and I don't always understand. God makes the lightning flash. God makes the thunder boom. God makes the snow fall. God makes the rain fall. God makes the wind blow. Where'd you get all that? Would you believe me if I told you in the last five Psalms? Why does lightning make such a bright light? And why does thunder sound so loudly? And why is snow so cold? According to what I've read in these last five Psalms, it's the creation praising the Creator. You mean when the rain falls, the creation's praising the Creator? You're catching on real quick. Non-breathing things, and yet He said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. The means of our praise. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Let everything that hath breath just say hallelujah. Father, thank You for the attention of the people of God today. Thank You, Lord, for the insight You've gave us from Your Word on this subject. I realize for many of these people, I've probably made quite a mess out of this and getting so off track and things like that, but I trust that each person that leaves here today will leave with a better understanding of the importance of praising our Creator. Thank You, Lord, for giving us so much insight into this subject and the importance of it. And God, help us never to be ashamed of You. God, help us to not care what they say about us or how they view us. God, help us to be a people that praises our God, the God of this Bible. God, help us not to be ashamed to say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. You are worthy. Lord, this is one area in my life where I have failed so many times. I'm so far behind on my praise and I'm so far behind on my thanksgiving. But I pray You'd help me with the time that You give me upon this earth in the future, whether it be a short time or long time. Help me to use this time in whatever I do to praise You. You said, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. May that be so in my life and the lives of these other children of God. Help us, Lord, to know and do Your will in each area of our life. Have Your way in the invitation time, the remainder of this service today. We'll praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.